Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen. And I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, because I live, you also will live. This is the heart of all Paschal proclamation. Because Christ lives, risen from the dead, glorified, triumphant, all who are his, and that means you, shall also live, risen and glorified and triumphant. And not just at the last day. You shall live now. Why? Because you are not left as orphans. Christ's ascension has not left you abandoned. He sent his paraclete, the Spirit of truth, to dwell with you and in you. And by that Spirit, you now love Christ. And by that Spirit, you know that you are loved, so that you can cherish and hold on to and guard all of his words, his precepts, and his admonitions. This is now your life, to love Christ, to keep his words, to be loved by the Father, by Christ, and to have him manifest to you. But of course, there's a question of what all that actually means, and that's what we're called to explore this morning. For it turns out this life that we have in Christ because of his resurrection is exactly what you are confirming today, Mr. Ethan Horman. You are about to say, yes, that's what was done to me too. That's what I will also seek after. This is who I am. So where to start? Well, even though it is not yet Pentecost, let's start with the Helper, the Paraclete, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, as you all know, has been around ever since the beginning of creation and has moved the hearts of all believers from Adam on to trust God, to love him, to walk in his ways. But the sending of the Spirit that Jesus promises here is not simply about creating faith. The Spirit of Truth is sent specifically to assure believers that Christ is with us despite not being seen by our eyes. And this is crucial, because so often we tend to go along with the world's wisdom, which says seeing is believing. And that's true as far as it goes, but it turns out it has an evil twin. That is, not seeing is a reason to not believe. And that's not always true. But there's a part of us that has doubts. If we don't feel moved by the faith, if we don't see things working out the way that we think they should, if we suffer, we can be dogged by the worry that maybe all this church stuff is really just elaborate play acting. And many of you know there's a fashionable ideology out there which argues that religion is just an elaborate scheme to enforce social conformity in the world around us, in which some people are labeled as desirable and others are excluded as undesirables. And we have to admit that there have been times, and even are today, when portions of the Christian church kind of do behave like that. But Christ sends the Paraclete to us, the Spirit of Truth, and he assures us of the reality of Christ's living presence with us, regardless of what our eyes do or don't see. He assures us that we are not abandoned, but loved. And so we love in return. And what is surprising here is the word that Jesus uses for love is agape. That is, we are used to receiving agape from God. We know that we are called to do agape to each other, but us, agape God? Yes, that's what the Spirit moves in us. And because we love Christ who loves us and gave himself up for us and is risen and ascended for us, because we love him, we keep his words. Now, a good deal of mischief has been done in the English language because for us, keep can also be used to mean obey. Hence, generations of believers have gotten themselves completely off on the wrong track, thinking Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. Good heavens. If our obedience was the measure of our love, we'd all be in deep, deep trouble. No, the Greek word, tereo, means to guard and to cherish and to hang on to. When we love Jesus, his words are precious to us. We want to grasp them, understand them, have them shape us, and yes, we'll seek to do what they say. Why wouldn't we? Well, except maybe for that love your enemy bit, but we'll seek to follow. But that's not where the emphasis is. To keep is to cherish and to hang on to his word, because it is the word of the one who loves us and whom we love. I should also add that it is not his commandments that we cherish. Again, in English, a commandment is often understood as an order, in the imperative, something that you must do or suffer the consequences for not doing. But Jesus' word is in the Greek entole, and that's better rendered in English as a precept, admonition, even instruction. That is, while Jesus indeed does give orders, more often he describes a new life and places before us the call of how to live. He shows it in his own life what true life looks like. And that's what we cherish and keep and seek after, to share love and mercy, grace and kindness, goodness, peace, and so on, as we have received them, for Jesus lives and we also shall live. Anyway, the Spirit has moved us to love Christ, assures us that he is with us always, even to the very end of the age, and so we cherish his word and seek after his ways. Because how can we not? And then notice what Jesus promises. He says, love me, hang on to my words, and you will know that you are loved by my Father. And again, the grammar here is not about the consequence of our actions, as in, if you love me and meet that condition, then as a consequence of that, the Father will love you. That would be a horrible proposition. No, the sense here is that as you love Christ, you simply are loved by the Father. Because Jesus is in the Father, and the Father is in him. To love him is to be loved by him. And not only are you assured of the Father's love, Jesus promises his love and that he will manifest himself to you. What does that mean? Well, it has nothing to do with mystic visions or mysterious feelings. One of the old theologians put it this way: it is a practical, salutary manifestation of Jesus Christ when he implants spiritual motions into the hearts of his believers and lovers, as when they receive through the word a living, believing impression of divine love from the mystery of the incarnation, when they understand the greatness of their sins from the mystery of the passion, heartily amend and are assured of their forgiveness, when they draw earnest longing for heaven from the mystery of eternal life, and so on. For in this way, Christ manifests or shows himself to the soul as the most gracious Savior, as the most lovely bridegroom, as the most faithful shepherd, as the most mighty king, as the most wise teacher, as the most ready physician. And by such manifestations, faith, love, hope, patience, and all Christian virtues are produced in the heart of the godly and increase from day to day. You are not orphans. You have the Spirit. Christ is manifest to you. Because he lives, you shall live. For Christ is risen.
He is risen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And now may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.